or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Again, you know, I wrote to you an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Meaning this epistle. Company, the word company means tsunami. I can't read what I wrote for the Greek word, but it means to mix up together. That is, figuratively, to associate with. Don't mix with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. You know, sinners of this world, he's saying, the sinners of the world, I'm not telling you can't keep company with them altogether. Not altogether, because then you'd have to go out of the world completely. You know, you'd have to actually, like, leave the world, you know, go to a different planet or something. You're going to have to associate with sinners. But he's saying, but now what I'm saying to you is, you do not keep company. If any man, again, that's the same word. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard. Now, to me, this in our modern times, this provides unspeakable difficulties. Oh, because 75% of Americans or so are call themselves Christians. So it means like most of the people I meet, certainly where I live, are quote-unquote brothers, as far as the way most people look at it. Most people think anyone who believes in Jesus, or says they do, should be instantly regarded as a brother. Obviously, I don't agree. Though I try to give people a little benefit of the doubt. You know, I don't like instantly judge them not my brother, but I try to treat them the same way I would want my brother to be treated by strangers, you know? Because you never know who you are dealing with. So you don't want to, treat them like a dog, God forbid. But, you know, you love your neighbors as yourself, right? But still, back in those times, in Paul's time, the whole world was around them, and Christians were a tiny little minority. What would he have thought to live in a country of, like, 400 million Christians plus? I don't know exactly how many, but, you know, 400 or 500 million, something like that. I mean, would Paul have had any? I'm sure he would. I mean, you know, whatever. The point is, we live in a different world. So, how do we deal with this? You know? Because, again, if you were to take this literally, then you would have to go out of the world. I'd have to leave the country. If I wasn't going to keep company, with the covetous, you know, I mean, think about this. My neighbor invites me over to his church, right? Now, I think of that church. I know their denomination. And to me, the Jesus of that denomination is an idol. It's not my Jesus. So now, they want me to come over and play and sing for them and eat with them. Oddly enough, I couldn't eat because I didn't like the food. But anyways, but I did sit with them, you know. What are you going to do? Look at Jesus. You know, he gave the Pharisees some of his time. Because we got to look more like that, because that's more like what we're dealing with, is like Jesus, how he went to the Jews. Because now we're called, in America, now we're called to a people who are like the Jews. And you know, the Jews that were religious, and there were also secular Jews even back then. And so in America, we have Christians and secular Christians and totally secular people, non-Christians, people of other nations. But for the most part, the people we're sent to are like us. They believe. And they believe slightly different, but we're kind of sharing a heritage here. But anyone who is a true brother in sharing your faith, and they do these things, he's saying, you don't keep company with them. If they're called a brother, and they're a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, an extortioner, with such a one, don't eat. Wow. You think about that. Most Christians, this is a scripture that most people don't even believe in today. Most churches do not practice this. Because they, you know, he's just got a drinking problem, no big deal. An extortioner, You know? Oh, he's the bank president. My favorite guy in church, he's the biggest donor. Yeah, they respect persons. You know, here, you're important, sit up here. Well, hey, the word of Paul stands. There is a principle in Christianity that when a brother goes bad, so to speak. Now, obviously, there's also scriptures that say, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Okay? Again, obviously, he means, like this kind of fornication. Let's say a brother be overtaken literally in Galatians. That's from Galatians, the last chapter. It literally means caught. Let's say a brother is caught staring long at a young woman. He ought not do. That's technically fornication. You know. But if he repents, he should be restored in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. And I'm not just saying that because I've been guilty of that. But I suppose, you know, that's, I just came as an easy example. Now, but again, it says covetous here. Does that mean the least little covetous hint of covetousness? Don't eat with that person anymore. Well, again, we use the spirit. You know, it is someone who's characterized by covetousness. Someone who has done some pretty, you know, there's fornication.